sing Vishnupriya in this condition, the Lord shed tears of affection. And he explained to her the philosophy of relationships. He said, the only relationship we have that is real is our relationship with God and the Vaishnavas. Everything else is an illusion. Just like straw comes together by the waves of time, the next wave will take apart. Attachment to husband, wife, father, mother, children, and all of these other bodily relationships are only sources of misery. Why? Because they're all based on illusion. The only reality is Krishna. The only true relationship we have is with Krishna and his devotees. Meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my dear wife, and you will always find supreme refuge. And to pacify Vishnupriya, to show Vishnupriya how he will never be separated from her, he manifested a four-armed form. She was very ecstatic in one sense to see the four-armed form, but in another sense she didn't care about the four-armed form. She wanted her Gauranga, her life, her husband, to be there to accept her service at all times. Ultimately, Vishnupriya, whose life was exclusively for the pleasure of the Lord, revealed her heart. If this is what you must do, my master, if this is what you must do, my beloved, to fulfill your mission, then let me or no one else stand in your way. This is the nature of selfless, unconditional love. As the fateful day was approaching, Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu and told him that five people will know about my going for sannyas. You tell them. My mother, yourself, and Mukunda Dutt, Gadadhar, Brahmananda, and Chandrasekhar Acharya. You go and tell these five people. Tell them where to go and how to make the proper arrangements. But do not tell another soul. Then the Lord, by his own transcendental potency, came together with his devotees to have such ecstatic, intimate, loving sankirtan of the chanting of the holy names. Everyone was so overwhelmed with kirtan that they all forgot all about this horrible thought that the Lord will take sannyas. The Lord just inundated everyone's heart where there was no other thought in their minds except just being together with the Vaishnavas, chanting the holy name. You sound very sleepy. Is it because you are cold or because you are tired? If not, then please chant with great enthusiasm. Thank you. You are empowering me to continue. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at his home. It was about the time when in Bengal they have the Lakshmi Puja. the time of Makara Sankranti, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inconceivably like a magnet attracted all the devotees to come to his house that day. And when they came, the Lord lovingly welcomed each of them. All the devotees brought the Lord garlands. All the devotees brought chandan to anoint his body and various other gifts. And in return, to each devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a garland made for them, personally put the garland, chandan, and then embraced them. Such intimate, loving exchanges were there on that day. Conceivably, thousands of townspeople were coming to Lord Chaitanya's house that day to give him gifts. He gave them all garlands and embraced them. There was wonderful chanting of the holy names throughout the whole day. Then the Lord spoke. In his heart, he knew this was his last message to the residents of Navadvip before he leaves. He says, "My dear friends, please listen with a sincere and humble heart. Never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. And always chant the holy names of Krishna. If you love me, if you want to show your love for me, then you will constantly chant the names of Krishna. While you're awake, while you're asleep, while you're at work, while you're at home, in all circumstances, remember Krishna by chanting the holy names." How you may all go home. So each of the devotees left the Lord to return to their homes. It was at the time when everyone was gone that Kalpatru Sridhar came with a pumpkin. It was already late at night, very late at night. This was the pumpkin that would go wild from the thatched roof of Kulavetya Sridhar. Sridhar humbly put him this pumpkin. The Lord greeted him, embraced him, and Sridhar left. The Lord was thinking in his heart, "It's late at night, but tomorrow I will not be here. Could I not accept this pumpkin which is offered with such dear and pure love?" So he asked Sachimata in the middle of the night, "Please prepare this pumpkin for me now." This is the love for his devotee. Kalpatru Sridhar had nothing more to offer materially than a pumpkin. He was a poverty-stricken person to material standards, but his love was so genuine. The Lord had to eat that pumpkin that night. He couldn't allow his devotee's offering to be in vain. At that moment, another devotee came to the door and offered the Lord some milk. So Sachi cooked the pumpkin in milk. And that was the last thing Lord Chaitanya ate in Navadvipa. He laid in his bed, and by his side was Gadhar Pandit and Haridas Thakur. They slept beside him. When only 2 hours remained in the night, he got up from his bed. Gadhar Pandit and Haridas got up with him. And the Lord said, I will go alone. So they stayed in the room. As he came out toward the front door of the house, Sakshimata was sitting there. She knew in her heart that the Lord was going to leave that night. She could not sleep. She sat in front of the door. She was like a lifeless statue. There was no movement except tears pouring incessantly from her eyes. When she saw her son walking toward the door, her heart was shattered. The Lord saw her in that condition, and with a very soft heart, spoke in gentle words to his beloved mother. My dear mother, from the very beginning of my life, you protected me. You gave me everything. It is only due to your love that I was able to study the Holy Scriptures. The pains, the sacrifices, the labor that you offered in your loving service to me as a mother are so intimately dear to my heart that I cannot repay you, my dear mother, even in a million kalpas. But please know that our lives are under the control of higher powers, the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord brings people together, but then inevitably, he takes them apart. That is the nature of the world we live in. But my mother, please, do not lament like this. I will return in 10 days to be with you again. All you've done to me, all you've done to me, and all you've done for me is most dear to my heart. You are very dear to me. With tears in his eyes, the Lord repeated this several times to his mother. You are very dear to me. You are very dear to me. Then the Lord touched the feet of Sakshimata, took that dust and placed it on his head, circumambulated his mother, and quickly moved outside of the door. In the darkness of the night, he approached the Ganga. Entering Ganga, he swam all the way across the current of Ganga. He came to a place called Nidaighat, yes? And from there, he began to walk to Kantaka Nagar. At Katwa, actually he was walking and walking and walking. It takes several hours to walk. While he was walking, the sun was rising. At the time of sunrise, the devotees took their bath in the Ganga and then came, as was their regulation, to offer their obeisances to Lord Gauranga and his mother Sakshidevi. So like on any other day, they very happily were very moving quickly to see their beloved Lord Gauranga. But on that day, they saw something that they had never seen before. Sakshimata, like a piece of stone, was standing without moving a single limb outside the door, with tears pouring from her eyes. Shrivas Thakur asked Sachimata, "What is wrong? Why are you standing like this? Why are you weeping?" Sachimata could not speak. After some time, she revealed her heart. She said, "You are all my fathers. The property of Vishnu belongs to his devotees. So this is your house, and everything in the house belongs to you. You may take it, because I have no more reason to live. Nimai has left." When those words, "Nimai has left," entered the hearts of these devotees, they were crushed. Crushed. All of them fell to the ground. Some were unconscious, some were rolling, some were beating their heads. Torrents of tears were flooding the land of Navadvipa. It was unbearable. The Lord had left to become a sannyasi. Soon the news spread all over the town, and everyone was coming to Sachimata's house. The Lord's plan was successful. Even the blasphemers, even those who criticized the Lord and his devotees, when they heard that he left them, they fell to the ground, weeping and crying in separation. That we never appreciated him. We criticized him. We never understood who he was. But we cannot live without him. That beautiful golden form of Vishwambhar. How will Navadvip survive without his roaming through the streets? The entire Navadvip, with all of its hundreds and thousands of citizens, was cast in the gloom of separation. Nothing could be heard from any house, from any bathing cot, from any marketplace, except the crying of the names of Auranga. Narahari Sarakar explained, when Lord left Navadvip, everyone was falling unconscious in separation. Torrents of tears flowed from everyone's eyes. There was wailing and howling, expressing the suffering of people's hearts. The cows stopped grazing. The calves stopped sucking their mothers. The river Ganga stopped flowing. The bees sat stunned. They could not even take the pollen from the flowers. And the birds no longer sung. They just gazed into the sky with tears in their eyes. This was the condition of Navadvip when the Lord had left. Advaita Prabhu said, "The Lord of my life, the Lord of my life has left. Therefore, there's no reason to live. If we cannot sing and we cannot dance and we cannot serve Lord Gauranga, then there is no reason to maintain these bodies. That is the only purpose of these bodies." Advaitacharya spoke with great conviction, "I will end my life. And if any of you try to stop me during the day and at night when everyone is sleeping, I will go to the Ganga to end my life." The devotee's response was, We will not stop you. We will go with you. They went on procession to the Ganga, where they were all going to drown themselves, unable to bear living without Lord Chaitanya's association. When they approached the river Ganges, a voice spoke, "O devotees, headed by Advaita, do not give up your life. Within only a few days, Lord Chaitanya will once again be dancing and singing with you. Be patient." The devotees came back to Lord Chaitanya's house in a circle around Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya. They sang the glories of the Lord day and night, just waiting for that benediction to come upon them. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Katwa. He approached Keshav Bharati. Keshav Bharati stood up in great happiness to see the Lord. And Lord Gaurasundar, Dandavat Pranams, took the dust from his lotus feet. Keshav Bharati welcomed him. Lord said, please, give me pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Initiate me into sannyas." Keshav Bharati said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Jagat Guru. You are everyone's guru. However, to teach the world, you're accepting a guru. As your servant, I will do as you wish." But then, Keshav Bharati began to think about what it means to give Nimai Pandit sannyas. He saw his beautiful golden form. Keshav Bharati said, "How could I do this? It is troubling my heart too much. You're only 24 years old. You're a young boy. Your mother took such nice care of you. You've never had to endure the troubles of the world. How will you possibly survive the hardships of the life of a sannyasi? And your hair, that beautiful hair. How could anyone think of such a wicked thing as cutting that hair from your head? And your wife, she's only a teenage girl. She knows nothing but you. How will she survive? And your widowed mother, who is the mother of all of us, Sachi Devi. What will happen to her if you abandon her? She will give up her life. No, I cannot do this." But the Lord kept saying, "Please give me service to Krishna." Keshav Bharati said, "You have to get your mother's permission." So the Lord said, "All right, I will get her permission." He started running. Keshav Bharati, "Come back. This boy can do anything. He can convince anybody of anything." So it was decided that he would give Nimai sannyas. Navadweep was plunged into an ocean of grief. The news of Navadweep reached Katwa. that Lord Chaitanya was coming to Katva to take sannyas from Keshavarati Maharaj. So soon, hundreds and thousands of people from all over Katva were coming to Keshavarati Maharaj's ashram to insist that he doesn't give sannyas to Nimai. Impossible. The people of Katva were thinking in the same way. He's young, he's beautiful. How can anyone cut that hair? And how can anyone bear? How can anyone bear the thought of Sachimata's grief? And all the women of Katva, they were just meditating on Vishnu Priya. What kind of a broken heart she was suffering. They were all weeping and weeping. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya had the barber, Madhu, ready to cut his hair. At that time, all these people came to the ashram and they revolted. They told Keshavarati Maharaj, if you do this, we will tear down your ashram and throw it in the Ganga. We will not tolerate this. You are sannyasi. You are supposed to be upholding religious principles. This is the very pinnacle of your religion. We will not stand for it. So when the people were revolting in this way, everything became very difficult. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu charmed their hearts. He raised his arms, those beautiful long arms that were like two golden pillars. And he glanced with his lotus-like eyes upon all the citizens of Katva. That glance of pure spiritual love and compassion. Haribo! Haribo! He induced everyone to join him in kirtan. The Lord personally danced. That enchanting dance of spiritual love. Everyone's hearts melted. Hour after hour after hour, there was nothing that could be heard in all the four directions except the loud, enthusiastic, heartfelt chanting of the holy name.
Krishna! 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 Krishna!
Everybody became so intoxicated, they forgot everything about the entire world. All they knew was the Lord is dancing before them. And their hearts were conquered by the sweetness of Harinam. When everyone was in this euphoric, intoxicated, ecstatic state, Lord Chaitanya told the barber, cut my hair. Madhu looked at that hair. Tears welled up in his eyes. He couldn't even see. Torrents of tears flowing. He said, my Lord, how could I touch your head? I cannot. And this hair, which is so very, very beautiful, in a top knot, black, shining, the very personification of all charming beauty, and how it is cascading down your back and along your shoulders. My Lord, I cannot touch this hair. Please spare me of this. The Lord ordered him, but he could not do it. His hand was trembling, his eyes could not see, He refused to do it. Then the Lord told him that it was his wish, it was his desire. You just cut my hair, and I will give you residence in the spiritual world. The barber couldn't do it. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu controlled his hands like a puppeteer to a puppet. And the hair cutting began. Meanwhile, everyone was still intoxicated with the euphoric kirtan of the holy name. But when the first hair fell, everyone's hearts crashed. They realized, it's happening, but it's too late. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair was falling to the ground, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Brahmananda, Chandrasekhar, Mukunda, they were rolling on the ground, weeping and crying. All the people of Kapwa fell unconscious. And when they came back to consciousness and they saw those hairs falling to the ground, torrents and torrents of tears, sighs of agony. It was an unbelievable scene. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reenacting his leela of Vrindavan. When Sri Radharani and Gopis, they left their homes, they left their comforts, they left their social position, they left everything to go to Bamsi Batri on the bank of Jamuna to meet with Krishna. This is the spirit that Lord Chaitanya taught of sannyas. To follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. To leave all ego, all personal interests, to renounce everything for the service of Lord Sri Krishna. That is what sannyas means. Exclusive dedication of body, mind, words, and life to the service of Krishna with no distraction. That was the Lord's conviction. He was following the path of the gopis. The hair was falling. There was howling, crying, rolling. But no one could stop it. Lord Chaitanya was so ecstatic when his hair was half shaved, he just got up and started chanting and dancing. Then he told Barbara to finish. When it was done, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in Ganga. Then he came before Keshav Bharati Maharaj in the robes of a sannyasi. And he said, I had a dream where a very divine personality told this mantra into my ear. And then he whispered a mantra into the ear of Keshav Bharati. Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, this is a very good mantra. There is no mantra like this in all the world. And then he whispered that same mantra in Lord Chaitanya's ear. What happened is Lord Chaitanya initiated his guru, and then his guru initiated him. And then it came time for Keshav Bharati to give the Lord a name. He said, technically, his name should be Bharati. But giving him the name Bharati means he's a servant of a sannyasi named Bharati. But he's not my servant, he's my worshipable Lord. I cannot give him that name. What name could possibly be given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he takes sannyas? Keshav Bharati was blank. He could not think of any suitable name. But then Goddess Saraswati, by the will of Lord Chaitanya, Goddess Saraswati came upon his tongue and spoke. Because you have descended into this world to free people from the shackles of Maya by giving them consciousness of Krishna. Because by spreading the holy names through Harinam Sankirtan, you are going to purify people's consciousness with Krishna, love of Krishna. Therefore, your name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And everyone roared in ecstatic love. After taking that name, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic. He was just given his danda and his kamandalu. He started to dance. Chandrasekhar Acharya, who was his uncle, maternal uncle, actually performed all of the ceremonial procedures. He asked Mukunda Dutt to sing. And the Lord danced and danced. He was in such ecstasy. He just renounced everything for the sake of giving the conditioned souls prema bhakti. That was his mission. In the ecstasy of that compassion, he was dancing and singing. Tears were pouring from his eyes. He was so enthusiastic. He was just given his danda and kamandalu, and a few minutes later in the kirtan, he just threw them away. He lost them. And Keshav Bharati, he picked up Keshav Bharati, who was a very elderly, stoic, scholarly, grave sannyas. The Lord picked him up, embraced him, and said, "Dance!" And Keshav Bharati just started dancing in ecstasy. The two of them were dancing together, embracing one another, falling to the ground unconscious, getting up, chanting and dancing. And all the devotees and all the people of Katwa seeing Keshav Bharati Maharaj and Sri Krishna Chaitanya dancing together, they were overwhelmed with joy, spiritual joy. It was glorious. And Keshav Bharati, he also in that dance lost his danda and kamandalu. At least temporarily. This dance went on all night long. All night this kirtan, celebrating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. The next morning, the Lord said, "I will go to Vrindavan. I am suffering deep separation from Lord Krishna. I will go to Vrindavan." Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, "I will go with you." Lord Chaitanya said, "Then come." So they began going through the forest to Vrindavan. After some time, the Lord told Keshav Bharati Maharaj, "You should go home." And whoever else was there from Katwa sent them home. And it was just he and his associates who were roaming through the forests. They entered into the Radhadesh province en route to Vrindavan. On the way, Nityananda Prabhu understood the grief of all the devotees in Navadvipa. So he made a plan of how to bring Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur, to meet with all the devotees, and especially with his mother Sachi Devi. Now tomorrow we may be going to Shantipur. If we do, we will continue the story there. I have, by the order of the Vaishnavas, tried to speak very briefly in a summary form of this very, very deep and instructive narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's renunciation. What is most important for us is how Srila Prabhupada explained Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. It was simply the expression of his love and compassion for every living being. Even for those who hated him. He took sannyas especially for people who hated him, who blasphemed him, who criticized him, who spread rumors against him. Because the Lord sees that every living being is his child, aham bija pratapita. The Lord sees the essence in everyone's heart. And therefore he was willing to give up such a loving mother, such a loving wife, such a loving circle of associates in the holiest of all holy places. The ultimate renunciation to show compassion. So that is what the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about. It is about compassion. It is about forgiveness. It is about love. Love even for those who hate you. Because that is the nature of Vaishnava. The day before yesterday we were at Bodhadrumadvipa. We briefly discussed the quality of Vasudev Dutt. That is Vaishnava. When he sincerely and earnestly prayed to Lord Chaitanya, let me take the sins of everyone. Let me suffer all their karmic reactions so they can go back to Godhead. Hearing those sincere and honest words, Lord Chaitanya wept. His limbs trembled. His voice faltered. And again and again and again the Lord would say, I am Vasudev Dutt's man. I am Vasudev Dutt's property. Wherever he sells me, I am sold. I belong to Vasudev Dutt. Because Vasudev Dutt understood the nature of the Lord's mission. Compassion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of Goddess of Fortune, gave all that up. And how did he live? So simple. The Lord of Vaikuntha, living in such a simple way, taking bats in the forest, traveling barefoot. He wouldn't even sleep on any padding. He would just sleep on the ground. He It was unbearable for the devotees to see him perform these renunciations. But the Lord did it just to show how much he loves every living entity. In the spiritual world, there are unlimited personalities who love him unconditionally. It's not that he's lonely and he needs to find some devotees. Why does he come to this world? It's a place of envious people. It's a place where people are just trying to exploit his property for their own egoistic purposes. It's a place where people are violent and envious toward each other. It's a horrible place. Read the newspapers. The Lord knows everything. Why does he come? He comes because he's the friend of the most fallen. He's Patita Pavana. Thus Rupa Goswami has prayed. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Krishna Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. Most munificent, most magnanimous, most merciful. Accepts the order of sannyas to reach the people who are most antagonistic against him. Because if they offer obeisances, then they will be relieved of their offenses, and then by his grace, he can give them pure bhakti. He was tricking them to use their independence for the right purpose by bowing down. And that is the reason Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. Well, his Gurudev was coming to him in dreams, saying, come, take sannyas, preach. How horrible. He was thinking like this, horrible. Give up children, give up wife, give up everything. But he was willing to do it. For the same reason. To give Krishna to others. So yes, this spirit of compassion to others is the very basis of Krishna consciousness. Preaching doesn't mean simply defeating people. Preaching means showing compassion to people. Are we compassionate? Who are we? What can we give? To be instruments of the compassion of Lord Chaitanya. To be instruments of compassion of Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas. That is what compassion is about. If we take any credit, then we cannot be instruments. To actually be really compassionate, you have to be Trinada Bisuni Chena, Puror Ivasihishna. Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadhari. That's what really it's about. Because as long as there's false ego, then you're giving what you have. And you may think you're a great saint, and I'm learned, and I love Krishna. But that is your illusion. It's my illusion. It's our illusion. To really be compassionate means to be so humble that there's no ego. That the grace of the previous Acharyas, the grace of Gauranga and Nityananda, can actually flow through our words, flow through our life, flow through our prayers, and flow through our life. That is compassion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed in this way. The essence of all religion is to show compassion to others. That is our goal. That is what preaching means. To access mercy and share it with others. And how do we access that mercy? By purifying our own hearts in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, not wanting respect, not wanting honor, not wanting any of these trappings of Maya, but simply wanting to serve and to please. And to take advantage of the great mercy that has descended upon us in the form of the Yuga Dharma, the holy name. Before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his preaching mission, he was given by his guru this verse. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiram. The power of the holy name is unlimited. So yes, let us take shelter of the holy name by chanting regularly, attentively, by understanding that all of our spiritual substance is based on how we're chanting the holy name and how we're humbly serving Vaishnavas. Through this process, we become clean. And as we become clean, we can really please the Lord by being instruments of His compassion. Srila Prabhupada just demonstrated such compassion. The real essence of what a sannyasi is, he personified. It is traditional that sannyasis should not leave India, because outside of India, people are so fallen that how could they maintain their vows or their standards? But Lord Chaitanya taught what is really sannyas. It is for compassionate service to others. He traveled all around India by foot, just giving Harinam and Krishna praying. Srila Prabhupada left India with 40 rupees and a box of books, an umbrella, a change of clothes, and a bag of cereal. Why? Heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, so many impediments. Very difficult. 70 years old. But he took sannyas to preach. And what was his preaching? He's willing to live with the most fallen, barbaric people. San Francisco, rock and roll bands playing. Horrendously loud music, intense, bright strobe lights just beaming on him, boom, 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 right in his eyes, and all kinds, thousands of crazy people, with all just drugged out, having illicit sex right there. Some not even wearing clothes. And he's just chanting Hare Krishna. Any other sannyasi practically at that time would think, it's no place. Prabhupada actually said to the devotees, this is no place for a brahmachari.
said that at that time. Why? And then he would go to prime ministers, to heads of state, to priests, to professors, prostitutes, hippies, drunkards in the street. He did not deny anyone the chance to take the holy name of Krishna, to take the love of Krishna. That was his compassion. Therefore, we understand that Prabhupada actually understood so deeply and perfectly the essence of Lord Chaitanya's pastime of taking sannyas. And that is the substance of what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is about, following that line of compassion of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. We may be big or small. Vrindavan Das Thakur says we should never even think of devotees as being big or small. It's offensive. But this spirit is what we should be really trying to cultivate and develop within our hearts. We don't have to hold a danda and wear kopans of sannyasi. That's not really what sannyas is about. Sannyas is about the spirit. Prabhupada said about Janani Vas and Pankajangri, they are better than sannyasis. And he said about some of his grihasthas, you are better than sannyasis. What does that mean? That they were actually living in a spirit of humility and sacrificing their lives to show compassion to others. That is real sannyas. It's not just the externals, it's the spirit that is 100% all important. And if the externals will help to facilitate that spirit, some people will accept it. But the externals without that spirit is just shallow, empty. What is that spirit? Humility. Renunciation means really to renounce the ego. Renounce the I and mine so that the flow of compassion can come through our hearts and our lives to serve others. That is the spirit of renunciation. So when we hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas, it doesn't mean we should all be leaving our homes and taking dandas. It means according to who we are and where we are, we capture that spirit of humility and sacrifice of the ego, of our own personal enjoyment for the welfare of others by giving Krishna. Grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari pole tako. Whether we're grihasthas living in home or sannyasis living in forest, chant the name of Krishna, give the name of Krishna, go beyond all this happiness and distress of this world. That is sannyas. So yes, today, January 1st, 2004, 1 year closer to death, let us meditate and contemplate this principle. How to really capture the spirit of Lord Chaitanya's taking sannyas and apply it to our life. How to capture the spirit of Prabhupada's sacrifice and be an instrument of that in his loving service. Srila Prabhupada made the most high esoteric topics so simple. He summed it all up with a simple phrase. Just preach Krishna consciousness to others, and you will benefit, and all others will be benefited. But what does it mean to preach Krishna consciousness to others? This is what the class today is about. So let us take it very seriously. Internalize it. Pray on this very holy night, because every night's holy in our week. In this very holy place, let us sincerely pray. Pray that we can resolve our lives in such a way that we will not be distracted or disturbed by the internal and external trappings of Maya. And we will earnestly aspire to be the servant of the servant of those compassionate souls who are giving love of God to the world. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi. Should we go to sleep or have kirtan?
Kirtan.
With all those who want to go to sleep, say Hari Bol. All those who wish to have kirtan. Sometimes democracy works.